They were in terrible pain. They had been beaten. They had been abused. They had been tortured. And their response? They swore. They cursed. They spat. They were angry. They were defiant. Absolutely not. Their response is they sang and they praised God and they prayed. And what you got last week, I hope, was while they were doing that, they were tortured. It's one thing to have been beaten to the point where you can barely move. But in the text that we read in Acts chapter 16, and you cannot miss this point, is that while they were stretched like this with that stick down there, the stocks that are described, to the point where it nearly had separated their hips. This is Paul and Silas. You see, if you don't know that, you can understand where sometimes, you know, you've been beaten up sore and you praise God and you sing to God. But these guys were being tortured the minute midnight arrived and they sang praises to God. You need to just understand how deeply they loved Jesus. And so they sing. And so they pray. And everyone in the prison, in whatever state of misery or terrible state that they were in, stop. They probably were awakened by these guys. And instead of swearing at them, hollering abuses at them, they were completely stunned by what they were doing. Because they knew. They were in the depths of the dungeon, in the stocks. They'd seen them come through, maybe with, we don't know, broken arms, abrasions, cuts, blood all over them. Paul will describe this later on as the worst beating of his career. Right here. And the next thing you know, bang, God comes down. And the earth shakes. And the prison doors are opened. But it is God coming down because even the stocks themselves are let loose. And the bonds that carry them are gone. And the jailer, not knowing that, knowing because he is a good Roman soldier, that with the prison doors open and everyone gone, he must take his own life. And so with that short sword in his hand, we might just call it a big old long knife, he is prepared to take that thing and gut himself. And as he's there with his sword in his hand, Paul says, "Don't hurt yourself." Now, you've prepared yourself to die. You have gotten to the point where you know that's what you're supposed to do. And as a good Roman soldier, you are ready to kill yourself. And then this man says, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." Even those who weren't Paul and Silas stayed because they could not believe what they were seeing. And you know the story. What must I do to be saved? And they teach them about Jesus. They tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. We know that because what they end up doing within the hour is they are buried in baptism. That's the story in the middle part of Acts chapter 16. And this man, this Roman jailer who was to the point of gutting himself, puts on Jesus, takes care of these people, makes sure they're okay. You also have to get the fact that God probably did something unbelievable with these people, Paul and Silas, because they're going to be able to walk out of there in a minute. They're going to leave. Folks, we're praying for you. God bless you. because God's hand is here. Now let's pick up with the story. We'll use a couple of passages here. Acts chapter 16, verses 35 through 39. And we'll finish with verse 40 so we can go eat. I'm going to be honest about it. I'm fighting my stomach right now. 35 through 39, and then finish with verse 40. For those listening on the radio, two passages, Acts 16, 35 through 39, and then Acts 16, verse 40. When the morning came, the magistrates sent the police saying, "Let those men go." Now, you got to understand that the magistrates, the people that threw them in the huskow, the people that first said, "I want you to beat the tar out of them, get that rod." Not the thing, the little bitty ropes here. Get that rod and beat them. They saw that they were miserable and in horrible shape, and they just said, "Well, that's got to be enough. We don't know these guys from Adam. Sure, they caused our friends great economic damage by taking that demon and removing it from the woman, but we got our pound of flesh. They're okay. We'll let them go." So they send that word. And the jailer reported the message to Paul, saying, "The magistrate sent word to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." The jailer is tickled to death. This is the best of all worlds. These men that he had personally abused, that he had seen were beaten, that he had stretched their legs to the point where they had to cry in pain and misery all night long and just wail and hurt and be, "Oh, woe is me." And then had his life completely changed by that earthquake and by the news of what he must do to save his life. And it wasn't his life Paul and Silas were concerned about, was it? It was his soul. Didn't want him to gut himself, but it was his soul. And that man's life is changed. And the best thing that could possibly happen, he could literally let him go. The doors are open on the jail. I'm sure they're off their hinges by what we've read earlier. So it's going to take a crew to come in fix that puppy. But everybody's still there. They're all still there. This is just a great day. This is wonderful, isn't it? Everybody smile. Everything's going good. And then Paul has to just mess everything up. He does. But Paul replied, "They have beaten us in public." You catch this? Everybody in town, everybody in the city of Philippi that wanted to know it, had seen those Christians getting the tar kicked out of them. So how do we feel about Christians? Next time you see a Christian, you go over there and just slap them up on the side face. It'll be okay. It's a good thing to do. Everybody knows that, right? Paul replied, "They've beaten us in public uncondemned. We didn't do anything wrong." Men who are, oh my goodness, Roman citizens. Now I'm here to tell you that once that word made it to the people in charge, they had a heart attack. Because you don't do what they just did to a Roman citizen. Don't do it. It is a violation of Roman law with serious consequences. First off, this is news to the Roman jailer who just did it. Now, the Roman jailer's okay because he's been saved, not by Paul and Silas, but by God in Jesus Christ. "They've beaten us in public uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and now they're going to discharge us in secret." You see, sometimes Christians get the impression that you never stand up for yourself. You never defend yourself. You never do anything. That you're always mishy-mashy. You know, somebody says something about That's just the way you're supposed to be. Never stand up for yourself. Never defend yourself. Don't you hear people saying that if you're a Christian, you're required to turn the other cheek? And you are. However, it is very clear now that a line has been drawn by the Apostle Paul for a reason. You did this to us in public. You did this to us where everyone could see. And anyone who has become a Christian living in Philippi is going to have a problem from now on. Because what you have done is delivered the message that Christianity is to be abused, disrespected, and thrown into prison. Ain't gonna have it. We are Roman citizens. And we have the right to a Roman trial. And you didn't do it. Certainly not. Now, the Apostle Paul has more nerve than anybody you're ever going to run into because of what he says next. He's talking to the very people that had the tar beat out of him, out there in front in the square where everybody could see it. And what he says is, let them come and take us out ourselves. You guys that called us guilty are going to come to the prison. And you're going to come down into the prison. And you're going to very kindly and gently escort us out of the prison. And I'd almost bet you a dollar to a donut right through the town square. And you're going to be making over us as we go, oh, Paul and Silas, here, let me move that out of your way. Here, Paul and Silas, let me do this to help you out a little bit there. Paul, are you walking okay? I hear they broke your leg. I understand how you can walk, but somehow you have been healed by something that happened last night. You can picture this, can't you? The police reported these words to the magistrates and they were afraid. The words closer to being terrorized. The words closer to the point of saying, oh my goodness, what have we done? When they heard that they were Roman citizens, so they came. And you know what they did, Angela? They apologized. Hat in their hand. They groveled. And they took them out. And said, would you guys mind leaving Philippi, please? You know, there's been a little bit of an upset here, and we really would be better off if you guys kind of left. Do you mind? Would you mind? Don't you think, you know, you've kind of had a tough 24 hours. Don't you think you ought to leave town? There's no demand here. None at all. They just asked. You see, if it had been demanded, it would have said so in the text, wouldn't it? What it says is they asked. Now, Paul, do you mind? You know, that town over there, they need to hear the gospel. Why don't you go tell those folks over there? Folks down at Gainesville need to hear about it. We've had enough of you and Ava. No, don't be offended by that. But we've had all we can handle. Gainesville could use a little bit of you. I got Paul and Beth back there. They'll get a kick out of that. So why don't you guys go down the road to Gainesville? They could use your help too. That's how this ends in verse 39. Verse 40, and the lesson is yours. After leaving the prison, they didn't leave Philippi. They went to Lydia's house. Remember, that's the rich gal out there by the river, the seller of purple, and she was a big dealer of it, apparently had not only this branch office, but had the branch office back there where they actually made the purple stuff. She'd branched out. She is wealthy beyond all regards to the point where she's been putting these guys up for who knows how long. We know that we have Paul and Silas and the writer of the book at least, and maybe more, along on this journey now. And she's been paying the bills. She's been feeding them. She's been getting them probably purple clothes for all we know. But they go back to Lydia's house. They literally go home to their place in Philippi. And when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters there, they, of their own free will, on their own time clock, by their own schedule, left Philippi. Don't ever get the idea that they went to Lydia and said, Lydia, we've had a lot of hard times here. Lydia's been tough. We don't like Philippi at all. Lydia, we're on our way out the door because they told us we had to leave. Absolutely not. They go back to Lydia's place. I can imagine. Now, we're going to get an account here a little later on where they knock on the door. Everybody gets so excited. Well, we won't talk about that now. But at this particular encounter, they are going to come. The folks at Lydia's place, don't you imagine if you were Lydia and the other Christians who had been converted, how down in the dumps you were? I mean, the two guys that came in here and taught you about Jesus, you know that they've been beaten beyond all recognition. That they've been thrown in the hoose cow, not only in the prison, not in the first part, not in the second part, but down there in the very hole where the worstest of criminals are kept. That's where they are. Bad stuff. And this is the religion we've bought into, that we've accepted, that we've been a part of. And the next thing you know, there is a knock at the door. And there stands Paul and Silas, healed by God, apparently. Their wounds have been cleaned by the jailer. But any of those wounds that could have led to broken stuff, not an issue. And when they beat you, they broke stuff. And there they stand. And Lydia and those Christians, I can just see their mouth drop wide open. Now, you suppose that Paul and Silas don't tell them what happened? If your job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've come into a foreign pagan city and you've convinced some people to put on Jesus Christ, and you've been thrown into prison, you've been beaten, you've been tortured, and the next thing you know, the gates of the prison itself have been ripped off their hinges by the power of God. And the very people who tortured you are now part of God's family in the church at Philippi. You mean to tell me you don't think Paul and Silas didn't look at Lydia and all those people and say, can I tell you about the last 24 hours? You won't believe what God has done for us. Do you hear this? You are the church in Philippi. You have your doubts about the religion that you've put yourself into. You know how terrible it has been for the two people who came because they loved you and told you about Jesus. And now those two people stand at the door and they say to you in very clear words, let me tell you what God just did. Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. While you were a still sinner, while you were still filled with the stink and the stench and the poorness of sin, while you were that way, Jesus died for you, Gail. He took every bit of that nastiness that you had inside of you and he put it up on that cross. He died for everyone in this room. And didn't just die. He went down and faced Satan himself. And he blew the gates of hell wide open on the third day. And now he is in heaven. And now he looks at us. And now he says to us, Joyce, I died for you. I paid the price. And you put on me. And you walk in newness of life. The people in Philippi who were Christians walk with a little spring in their step the day Paul and Silas came back to that home and said, "Let me tell you what Jesus has done for you." This is exactly what Jesus has done for the church in Ava, Missouri. He has died for us. He has paid the price. He has set us free. And there is no jail in the world that can hold us. They can hold our body until we rot and die. But the minute that death occurs, we are set free. Amen? By the blood of Jesus. And heaven is ours, guaranteed by the gift of the Son of God. And that's what we have. Because a couple of boys, in the midst of pain and torture at midnight, began to sing of the love of Jesus, which is what we do now as we stand and sing.